Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show at its new slot on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. How are you doing? Hi, I'm Paul and I'll be obviously your host this evening. Looks like I'm going to be solo. John has said he was going to be here and then he's not, but there we go. So John has bailed on me this time. There we go. But he was having a COVID test. So maybe he's not well. We'll just have to wait and have to catch up with him and see what's going on there. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, I think it'll be a pretty short show, to be honest with you, if it's just me, myself, and I, because we've got some signing news by the Crusaders, coach heading back to New Zealand, we believe. Tasman have named a couple of coaches, but that's pretty much it, as we have our sort of quiet pre-season as we head in to the Super Rugby Pacific that is kicking off soon. Anyway, it's a hot one and it's got to be therefore a beer to keep us nice and cool as we do the show. And don't forget the show is available as a podcast. Just search for New Zealand Sport Radio on whatever podcatcher you get if you want to listen to us, or if you want to watch us live. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at 8 p.m. on Mondays here on New Zealand Sport Radio. So, looking at the news, it looks like we have another Naholo joining the Crusaders. So, Kini Naholo was originally announced, and apparently Waizaki Naholo is training with the Crusaders. One of the things that I had a chat with, although I mentioned in a question to Clayton McMillan, a while back now about that one, was that about a third of the squad again will be coming from injury replacements. About sort of eight or nine players about a quarter of the squad will be for injury replacements. I mean, you think about three players like Parry Parkinson Jamie Booth, the Hurricanes scrum half, have both already had season-ending injuries. So there are a lot of players, although the wider squad and their pathways are very important. Now, I've not heard of any of the Crusaders' backs being injured. Whether this is Waizaki just training with them ready in case there is an injury, but then being officially added to the squad, or whether there has been an injury that they haven't announced and he's coming as an injury replacement, I don't know on that one. But yes, some players do train with the squad as kind of wider training squad kind of sort of contracts or mini contracts, which they're getting ready in case or for when there are injuries. Because let's be honest, there will be injuries that are going on. Just a quick chat there. Don't forget you can also let us have comments in the live chat on Facebook and YouTube. If there's anything you want us to talk about from a rugby point of view, you just ask away. So look at, so great to see Waizaki Naholo back. With the Crusaders. On his knee, though, look so good when he says, look, it's just the meniscus. I got tidied up and I don't have much cartilage left in there. So as later in life, Waizaki's going to have some, going to be hobbling around. Nocturnal writes, it's not seem right to see Waizaki in a Crusaders top. Yeah, it would be nice to see him back at the Highlanders. After he'd been at the Crusade, after he'd been with Canterbury in the Bunnings NPC, it's not surprising to see him playing around there with the Crusaders. We've seen this now. I mean, last season, they had Rennie Ranger in there as an early season injury replacement. Again, obviously funny seeing him not wearing a blues top and a Crusaders top training. They have brought these more experienced players in, as well as younger players through their Canterbury and Tasman routes over the last few seasons to have that experience there. So not entirely surprising, I guess, part of the way that sort of Razor works and getting that balance right between experience and fresh blood is really an art. And as I've already said, it's going to be an interesting one for the Crusaders this season, because they have had more transfers in than they normally do into this season with the Crusaders. Front rower, we've got Finley Brewers and Shino Klein have come in. You've got Zach Gallagher in the row, Dominic Gardner, Corey Kello, and Pablo Matera in there, Triple T, Simon Hickey, and Kini Naholo. So all up, you're looking at nine new players in there. To see them get more than five is unusual for the Crusaders. That's an awful lot of change there. It was interesting listening to the Rugby Ruckus, and they did their preview of the Rebels and the Crusaders last week. When you actually get to hearing the 23 that the Crusaders can put out there, it's still basically an international 23. It's very good. I would say their one weakness is at fly half. Let's be honest. Obviously, Richard Mwanga, fantastic. But if he goes down, he's missing the first few weeks of the season. Obviously, he had a child towards the end of last year and is taking a break at the beginning of this season. And so with Simon Hickey and Fergus Burke, yeah, they are not going to strike fear into many teams. Let's be honest, and all the early season games are New Zealand derbies as well. So it's the tough games as well that they're going to have to survive in that one. It will be interesting to see how they go in that one position. That's the one weakness area that I can see for them. Brett Cameron was supposedly there last season. I'm not sure he played at all. So clearly he's been on the outer for a while, but played really well for Manawa 2 Turbos before heading off to Japan. That's their one area of weakness. But seeing Waizaki Naholo in there, not perhaps the biggest surprise, considering his brother's there and he was playing for Canterbury as well. Moving further down, and Tasman Marcos have announced their coaching setup for next season. Gray Cornelius and Dan Perrin are going to step up as co-head coaches for the province there. Something that they had previously until one of their co-head coaches stepped away and the other one left in this off-season as well. It's a setup that the Tasman Marco have used before, and it's people being promoted from within. So from that point of view, I think we're going to see that continuity there. Rather than revolution that we saw in somewhere like Bay of Plenty last season, when they went outside and hired an external coach to come in. Sure, he'd had Super Rugby experience, but that really didn't work well, did it? Replacing Craig McMillan there. But then again, it did work down in Taranaki, where someone from the Chiefs went into there, someone from outside in white went down there and had a great season. So it can work, it sometimes doesn't work. So interesting to see. Greg Cordier, someone I've had a chat with a few times now, a really nice bloke. So hopefully we'll get a chat with him and see how he sees things working over the next year. We'll probably see if we can get a call with him probably next week sometime, because I've got my girls this week, so I'm going to be busy with that family stuff on that side of things. As I say, if I'm going to be on my own, it's going to be a short one. But Boyd apparently is leaving Northampton Saints at the end of the season, and he's going to be heading back to New Zealand. It's going to be interesting to see if or where he kind of turns up now with this one. Maybe he is heading into retirement. Who knows what we're, what? But because Chris Boyd is now 63. So does he want to continue doing full-time coaching, or is he happy to be taking a backseat, a more casual role? We'll have to wait and see. And Wayne Smith, for example, has finished up in Japan and is back here in New Zealand. I was seeing him on various TV pieces, doing various media spots, but he's going to be helping with the coaching at Waihi, which is my club here. And maybe we'll see Chris Boyd doing something similar and getting involved in amateur rugby, an amateur rugby club, and helping them out with some coaching as well. Or will he be looking at some getting back into Bunnings MPC role? Because let's be honest, I don't think there are any Super Rugby roles up for grabs anytime soon. So, well, maybe except maybe unless he takes an assistant coaching role in one of those, as we've seen with Joe Schmidt do. As he's getting involved with the Blues, for example. So we'll have to see how that one pans out. Look, a guy with a lot of experience has coached, obviously, in New Zealand, also over in South Africa and in the UK as well, as well as also internationally for Tonga. So, look, a host of experience. Listened to a podcast where he did, got interviewed for an hour, and he's talks very well. And it's really interesting how he thinks about coaching as well as a head coach. So that was a cracking listen on the Rugby Dungeon podcast, if you want to go and listen to that one. But one of the points he makes in that one is that a lot of players come out and they're very focused and very knowledgeable about their area of the game. But as a head coach, you have to know about the about everything, really, and have that big overview. And that's a big problem, he says, especially for players who come out of the game and switch themselves into coaching. On the sevens side of things, and especially back-to-back tournaments in Spain for the HSB Sevens World Tour. Now, those will be going ahead, but the New Zealand All Black Sevens and Black Fern Sevens have both pulled out of that one. Because of the border restrictions and not being able to get back into New Zealand afterwards. And hence, they're being replaced by Germany and Belgium, I think it was, in those tournaments in Spain. Next up in February, we've got Vancouver, followed by the early March with Los Angeles, so back-to-back ones are there, and then Singapore in April before two in May in Toulouse and London. Interesting, no Hong Kong Sevens in there, which obviously is one I've been to several times and a massive tournament. Or maybe that's just on the men's side, not the women's side. But anyway, so look, those are there with obviously the Commonwealth Games and the World Cup happening this year. Sevens, it's a big year for sevens, just like Olympics from last year. So they haven't been able to get to travel yet, so it'll be interesting to see what New Zealand does to put together some sort of tournaments for them to practice as well on that one. Previously they've had the Black Ferns 15s team put together a sevens team to get involved in the tournament with them. And jumping on is John, how are you doing, sir?
Good, Paul. Don't worry, mate. Richie Moanga doesn't get injured ever. So there's no problem there. He will be fine. Absolutely fine. He also plays a full game most of the time, which is actually true. So he should be fine. But I'm good, mate. How are you?
Oh, not bad at all. Just a bit hot, really. Been out all day, so not being able to have the windows open. And so I'm cooking at the moment as I do the show.
How hot's hot?
Nice little gloss going on here as I
yeah, you do, actually. You look like you got your sort of Arbonne or some sort of other multi-level marketing sort of makeup on. Natural glow, I don't know.
Not only do I have a whole studio with jerseys and stuff in the background, but I have there's the makeup room, there's a green room, this whole the Driving Mall Studios in Waihee are something else to believe, I tell you.
Look, I thought I'd just pop in for five just to keep you company, you know, because probably quite difficult doing it on your own, but kits off of Moanga Joy. Yep. Moanga also takes a bit of a battering, and for someone that probably weighs about 68 kgs, he's a bit of a machine. Not maybe as much of a legend as Damien McKenzie for the battering that McKenzie gets, and just, you know, seems to be uninjurable, although he has had a few injuries. But I do love those little guys that take a bit of a hiding.
Yeah, 2019 Rugby World Cup, for example. And if you look at the Crusaders lineup, of course you're going to target him, because one of the things we used to say about the Highlanders until gone blank as to the backup scrum half down there, who's great place for Hawke's Bay, stupid haircut, but wonderful player. But anyway, but we used to say that the biggest drop off between any player in Super Rugby was Aaron Smith when he went off. Because he was so good and his replacement was so bang average.
He was so pivotal that team. So sorry, go ahead, man.
Yeah, but now I think that we're probably the sort of MVP kind of player is probably Richard Moanga. In fact, the drop off from him to the next player is chasmous. His replacement is so much worse than he is.
And I guess teams may a player looking at which team they might want to go and play for probably looks at the Crusaders and goes, well, I'll probably get sort of 5 minutes a match, you know, unless there's an injury. You know, it's probably not the what I'm meaning is if you're a fringe All Black, you know, it's a difficult one to it's a difficult team to look at compared with going to the Highlanders or someone that doesn't have a clear cut sort of key number 10 like the Blues or the Canes probably do. So yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And Con's unfortunately frozen there, but yeah, Fakatava's obviously the player I was talking about.
You
coming
said
through.
I was tuning in earlier. Cool. I didn't know that. Sorry, excuse me. Am I cutting out?
Are you just
cut out for a second?
Yeah, you cut out briefly there. But Fakatava's come back. Was the player that I was talking about has come through.
That's right.
As a wonderful as a backup there down in the Highlands. But before that, the drop off between Aaron Smith down to Kane Hamilton. Was rather massive.
And
Will Genia was another one when he was at the Rebels. Again, he would come off and suddenly the team would just change. Think about that. You look at, if you think that the Highlanders have got Marnie Banks and Mitch Hunt in that 10 jersey, that the Hurricanes, Jackson Garden-Basher, Aidan Morgan, maybe Reuben Love or Ruben Love maybe a fullback. I mean, what's where does he fit there? The Chiefs with Josh Uwani and Caleb Trask, Ruz Rehana was playing really well, and Bryn Gatland, and the Blues then, as you say, obviously Beauden Barrett there, but Stephen Perifetta. All the other teams seem to have somebody, a better back. Well, actually, apart from the Hurricanes, Hurricanes are just going to think, who is their 10? I mean, that's just, that is a
position for them. I think of the Chiefs. Yeah, no, they do. They've had the talent, the talent there has been a bit of a challenge since Bodie walked.
Yeah, and obviously they've lost Jamie Booth to injury for the season. Already. So TJ and Cam Roygaard, because Tremotane is at Moana Pacifica now. As I told him, he didn't have a contract. Then suddenly they lost Jamie Booth this season. Like, oh, quick, come back! He's like, nah, I'm gone, mate. Not necessarily fantastic for them there in that one. I mean, look, it's a decent team at the Hurricanes, but you need that guy to lead you around the pitch, and I'm a bit worried about that backup there on that one, which is all the more reason why you're kind of scratching your head as to why. I've gone blank as to the player's name who went to Moana Pacifica. I'll have him in a second as I bring up the squad. Lincoln McClutchie, as to why, he didn't get a run down there at Hurricanes. Real kind of head scratcher, that one. There you go. It is what it is, I guess, on that front.
So, Paul, just... Yes. Coming in and basically messing up your agenda and your schedule, but question for you.
I finished the agenda entirely, so I was about to sign off.
That's good. Just slide you down. As usual, I extend triple the length of the show. Now, I haven't tuned into your New Year's cast, but which I should have, and I might still. But did you pick your 1 to 5? What teams you think? Well, let's say the New Zealand teams. What order you think they'll finish in Super Rugby?
No, I don't think I did, actually.
Do you have any with, you know, do you think you could on the spot?
I think I could on the spot. Well, of course I could on the spot. It's hard to look past. Obviously, the Crusaders have done very well over the last few years, winning basically a cup each one. Now, for my mind, I'm a bit concerned they actually brought in a lot more players, a lot more turnover than they normally have. But when you name their first 23, they're still all internationals, pretty much front to back. So it's still a formidable team. So they're going to be there or thereabouts with that one. Clayton McMillan clearly has got the Chiefs ticking over really nicely. And when you think now, they look at their locking stocks of a Brodie Retallick coming back in. You've got Tupu Va'ai and Josh Lord. Two young All Black locks in there, and Arcoy, and you're thinking, oh, that's a real nice engine room that they've got in there. As long as someone like Sam Kane stays fit, then again, they've got great leadership with also Luke Jacobson, the ex under 20s All Blacks captain as well. And you're looking through that and going, oh, that's there are no weak points in that team either. When you've got think that the centre combination is Quintipaya and Anthony Leonard Brown. So again, an All Black centre combination outside of Josh Lord, who is a crack, who's been playing fantastic on the pitch, as long as he gets his off the field issues out the way. So I think the Chiefs are going to be pushing them all the way. And then you've got the Blues, who picked up the Trans-Tasman comp last year as well. Beauden Barrett in back in there. Luke Romano to bring that experience to cover for the loss of Patrick Tuipulotu. And you're suddenly going, okay, yeah, they've not really had they've got some changes in the centres there. But look, they're going to get a good crowd with RTS. And if RTS can play, can get that 12 jersey ticking, then they're going to be in the fight as well. So it's got to be between those three at the top end. But then a lot of people will go, oh, yeah, but the Highlanders always punch above their weight. They've got the best coach, arguably, in Tony Brown down there, or the best attack, most out there thinking coach.
Has that been the case for the last couple of years, though? Like, you know, have the Highlanders, you know, they finished in the top two or three of Super Rugby Aotearoa or its related things? I think that that's something a few years ago, isn't it? The Highlanders doing quite well.
Losing someone like Ash Dixon is going to be big for them. But then again, they've been picking up players like Andrew Makileo from the Crusaders. Who's a good catch. They've got rid of players like Joshuani, who maybe have been a negative influence in the squad at this one. You're quite right. It's hard to look at this team and go, how are they going to equal up to those top three? So, and then I think I'm putting the Hurricanes down in last place.
Okay.
For me.
Good call.
With that one, because of basically just that lack of pivot at 10, for my mind, there. Now, those top three could go anyway. Let's be honest, it's always hard to look past the Crusaders, but I would say the Crusaders missing out on with Richard Mwanga in that first few games
might have a big effect.
So I'm going to go Chiefs, Blues, Crusaders in that order, but. Remember, we have quarterfinals here, so I could see the Crusaders coming through as away victors of the whole thing, but I think the round robin piece that they might get, they might be behind a couple.
Yeah, no, good call. I think I went to that game, Nocturnal Rites. Actually, it wasn't a classic. I'd say, look, I'm a Crusaders fan, but for the good of the comp, I wouldn't think it would be the worst thing in the world for them to miss out. I think the Super Rugby Aotearoa Year One final to be, which was the Crusaders versus Auckland, or it was almost to be, would have been a cracker. And I think I'd really love like two teams undefeated or close to being undefeated or doing very well. Maybe they've got one loss each coming into the second half of the local derbies would be great. But I'm picking, I think Chiefs, Crusaders, Blues. I could put the Crusaders up, but I feel like I have to be not too partisan. And then I think the Canes and then the Highlanders. I think the Highlanders will punch right away. I think what the Highlanders will do is when they lose, they'll lose by small margins. And that's something that they tend to do. Sorry about that. Do you think, one more question, Paul, do you think any, how many, or, well, okay, do you think any of the Australian teams will do better than any of the New Zealand teams on the table?
On the table? Look, yeah. I think...
Well, they will, because they play more games at home, do they? No, it's just a couple, isn't it? No, that's wrong.
They don't...
Yeah,
you've got three games which are within, which kind of got slightly slightly easier schedule. For the sort of second, third derby games. The Reds, the problem last year was that the Reds achieved their goal of ringing Super Rugby AU, and then had obviously. A massive hangover from that and never really got going in Super Rugby Trans-Tasman. So, look, I reckon the Reds could definitely pick up a victory over a Hurricanes or a Highlanders.
I think you're right.
On that one. The Brumbies also, it's going to come down. We'll see about that. Maybe they could do as well. Now, the other three, no. But I could definitely see the... Either the Reds or probably the Reds finishing kind of like fourth and getting a home quarterfinal.
I think, you know, I'd love to see an Australian team finish in the top three. You know, it will be great.
Yep.
I think it it should be the Reds. Well, if an Australian team finishes in the top three, it would be the Reds. But if an Australian team is to get, let's say, top four or top five, let's say top four, I have a feeling it should be the Reds, but it will be the Brumbies. I think they'll scratch together some good local wins. They do it kind of tough. And I think it's good for New Zealand teams to play against an opposition that often plays a more upfront, slower, grinding game. And maybe that's slightly stereotypical of them, but that's traditionally, how they've often won, not as much of a high scoreline. So I think, I'm basically in agreement with you, but it could be the Brumbies that do surprise us. That's happened several years with Australia, except for last year, where the Brumbies, who with a depleted side, seem to be the ones that get there in the end. But yeah, hopefully the Reds do. Hopefully the Australian teams make up for the embarrassment that was the Trans-Tasman Comp. Because it was a bit embarrassing.
It was. Now, look, I mean, obviously, the traditional other powerhouse in Australia is the Waratahs. Now, they've got Hooper back this year. So they've got their world-class player back. Also, they had a lot of very young players who have now got a season of Super Rugby under their belts and understand what the hell it really means. I guess that from that experience side of things, could we see a side? Could we see them play better? New coach in Darren Coleman from the LA Giltinis moved from there. Did very well over there. Yes. We could see some better performances from the Waratahs, but it would be a massive step up for them to be challenging the New Zealand teams, I think.
Agreed. They need a few more years.
When you think about the Reds 4 or 5 seasons ago now, when Brad Thorne was bringing in all the youngsters, could we see the Waratahs kind of on an upward curve in the same sort of way? I hope so, for the good of rugby, more than anything else.
Agreed. And I mean, they should be the powerhouse of Australia, but they won't be this year. And Hooper's probably worth a couple of wins against the Force and the Rebels, though, having him back. They might get third in Australia.
Listening to an interview with Dave Vessels, the ex-head coach of the Rebels. And look, he thinks they had a decent 23, but just had nothing underneath that. And that was their main problem, was that as soon as they got injuries, they were in trouble. He's left, but the new head coach there is Kevin Footy, who has been basically working with Dave Vessels for the past decade. So it's promotion from within. So look, they've got that continuity of processes and things. It's not going to be a massive revolution there. So again, they should be kind of growing on what they've got. Losing players, particularly Marika Corabetti, when you've got a world-class player like him, losing him is massive for them. And as always, can they get the platform up front? Is always going to be a problem, but we'll have to see how that how the Rebels go, and then the Force. An interesting one. Look, the general manager over there CEO over there is the ex CEO from Tasman, and obviously he took them all the way to winning a championship. He's gone and got the head coach out of Hawke's Bay, has gone in now as an assistant coach, and we know that Hawke's Bay were tracking pretty well last year and have done some good things as well. So look, they're building over there. And the question I guess really is, how far along that building are they? Listening to some of the interviews, this will probably be, I think this is the first season where they've actually had a actually had a proper pre-season together, rather than being told with like a month to go, you're actually in the comp, put together a squad. So this is the first time they actually had a squad that they kind of, from the previous year, that they can then build on, rather than just having to search who's available, boys. So maybe we'll see more out of the Force as well. Those three, not holding much help, much hope for, really, in the grand scheme of things.
Agreed.
Now, I know you've got a dash.
Yes. Thank you very much for
coming on. Look, folks, the Monday night 8 p.m. is the new home for, or the new time slot for the Driving More show, which we'll do throughout, because obviously Tuesday nights is rugby club training nights. And Wayne wants me to get down with the camera and do some videoing at Waihi. So, and also that means that hopefully Bill will be more available as well. Folks, this will be the new slot for the coming season. So do enjoy it. We'll also look at getting together our sort of maybe a Super Rugby preview show on like a Thursday evening as well, looking at the games coming up as well. So check those out. Do stick around. And thank you very much for your support over the years. Thank you very much, Con, for joining me. And everyone, stay safe. Have a couple of beers because it's a bit hot. And I'll catch you all next week on Monday at 8 p.m. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, Paul. Cheers, everyone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.